Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M Footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
And 3, 2, 1. Another week of footy is ready to rock. Hear every minute live here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For Ream Hot Water, we are Triple M Footy.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome to the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground on an amazing Sydney day. Tops of 20 predicted for this game between the Roosters and the Newcastle Knights. Should be an absolute belter. Beautiful day. Oh, this is a sentence I never thought I would say, but gee, the old girl looks a picture. People talk about the SCG as the old girl. Not sure exactly why that is. It does look very good. You've not played there, Gertz, have you?
No, I've never had the pleasure, Tony. But the pitch looks in immaculate condition. They play a little bit of rugby here, do they, at the moment?
Yeah, they do.
What do they use it for?
The Waratahs, yeah.
The Waratahs play a little bit?
They did, yeah.
The Swans obviously play here as well, the Sydney Swans.
So if you're out and about today, Roosters and, I don't know, who do you reckon will get more fans here today, guys, the Roosters or the Knights?
There'll be a few coming down the highway from Newcastle.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. And for the Roosters, though, it should be a great game back. Both teams really need a win. The Roosters have struggled a bit of late. But I think it's the first time since round one that they've got that spine back together. The first time since round one. So, you know, they look imposing on paper.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think they've won, they've lost, like, 2 out of 8 or something. So they've been close a few times. But even last week, the Cowboys, they dug a bit deep last week, the Cowboys. But, you know, the Roosters, mate, it's all about timing. I think this time last year, I think they were, in fifth position.
Yeah, they had a slow start last year and everyone was saying, oh, James Tedesco and Cooper Cronk, are they fitting in well to that Roosters style? And Trent Robinson said, you just have to be patient. And again, he knows what he's doing. You know, he's moving players around a little bit to cover for various injuries. But, gee, he knows what he's doing and they'll be there right at the end of the season.
Can I just put a shout out to the good people of the Canberra Raiders, my team?
Hang on, Tony.
Oh, wow.
Did you... I didn't text you. I refrained from doing anything immature last night when the Panthers took on your mighty Dragons. Did you see the game at all?
No, because I was working with my new team, the Canberra Raiders, in Canberra for their Hall of Fame dinner. It was a very important evening, obviously. I was emceeing. And I'm on the Green Machine bandwagon, I have to tell you right here, right now.
Okay. When did you get off the Dragons one?
Oh, about 7:15 last night.
What happens if the Dragons win every remaining game, scrape into the finals?
And they have to win 8 out of 7.
But just say they do. Are you back on the bandwagon?
That's what he did last year. Remember, he was off and then they started winning a few and then he was back on.
Oh, you can't do that.
No.
Fickle fans, Tony Spice, that's what he does.
But today, honestly, we have to get at the problem of the Dragons. I think the Dragons have been left alone all year. They've gone under the radar. Everybody talked about Penrith, talked about Ivan Cleary and Nathan Cleary getting back together again. It was the story. Garth Brennan has been the story. A whole variety of other coaches and teams have been the story. The Dragons have kind of just rattled along. Nobody said anything. They're in deep doo-doo. There's no doubt about it. They have 5 or 6. I mean, Ben Hunt didn't play. Why didn't Ben Hunt play? We'll talk about that a bit later as well. They really need to be examined because something is wrong.
Let it out, Tony.
Okay.
Just let it out. We'll get someone in here that's a professional later on and you can just, you know, spill it all.
A professional radio person. Well, that would be good.
It would be good.
Change. Anyway, back at the Hall of Fame, I just want to congratulations to those who were added to what is already an amazing Hall of Fame for the Raiders. But Don Furner Sr., who's quite crook at the moment, his daughter Kathy accepted the award on his behalf. But the inaugural coach of the Raiders was added to the Hall of Fame, as was David Grant, who was the first captain.
Died at 38.
His family was there too for that award.
Oh, what a nice moment.
And Jason Croker.
Legend Tootsie.
Yeah.
Absolute champion.
How many inductees do they have so far, Tony?
17 they're up to now. So that's two coaches, 15 players are in
Sheen's obviously the other coach.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. 120 tries Jason Kroger scored. That mark was passed by Jared last week against St George.
Yep.
318 first grade games. So well done to all who were there.
Tony, how would you rate your MC skills on the night? Out of 10, what were you?
Oh, it's kind of around the 11, 12-ish.
Sort of, that sort of area?
Yeah, for that sort of fee, you'd want to hit 12.
Absolutely.
So, did you do it for free?
Did I do it for free?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Would you do it for free?
Yeah, of course I would.
Wait, back up, Sparky.
Yeah.
I've worked with you in the past. You're a kind of a cash society, aren't you?
Not really, no. I'll do it for the love, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, for the love of money.
I think you're thinking about Maroon.
Yeah.
Loves cash.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Buried in holes all over his backyard.
Mine goes
keep his
books.
Dog away. What's Maroon's dog's name? Is it Wendell and Tara? Or are they his two cats?
Those are his two cats.
Okay. And Seabold's going to be on today as well, Tony, which you're about to mention.
Tune in, yeah.
So maybe
only Maroon was on for that.
Mm. Yep.
You should get him to dial in, actually.
Yeah,
and lead the conversation.
I'd love to see those two go one-on-one. Maroon would just melt.
He would
fade into the darkness.
Did the Broncos look pretty good on Thursday night too? That big forward pack in the middle, those young guys making lots of metres. Lots of metres. The Panthers, as I look at that tie power scoreboard, too good. They were in until halftime, really, the Dragons, but 40-18, absolute capitulation in the second half from the Red and Whites. As we said, we're going to get to that. We'll probably get to fans as well, 1-3-3-5-3, a little bit later on to find out what you think about St. George Illawarra and how they are travelling or not travelling as we speak. The Warriors, 19-18 over the Sharkies, a bit of controversy out of that. About both games, shoulder charges. Andrew Fifita has been charged?
Yep, and Viliami Kikau. So if they take the early guilty plea, they'll both get a week. If they fight and lose, they get 2 weeks.
Okay. Blake Green kicked the field goal in the 19-18 win for Warriors, and we will speak to him as well. It is a jam-packed show, as I say. We are at the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground. Get down to enjoy what will be a sensational game of rugby league, the Roosters against the Knights. This is Saturday Triple M. And Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Love in an elevator. A few people in this room were hoping that was an elevator working. You had to climb all the stairs up to the top here at the commentary box at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Did you girds all the way up?
Yeah, I did the stairs, Tony. I didn't mind it. You know, just got up on the toes and worked the calves out a little
bit.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got no calves.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm working on with.
Sorry, mate.
What about you, Dill? Stairs?
Yeah, just punched it out.
Fitness fanatic.
He rang me on about the fifth floor and said, where are you? I said, oh, maybe you're about two floors away.
Yeah.
But it was more like,
oh, that's a lie, mate.
Where are you?
You've usually already worked out on a Saturday morning, haven't you, 6 a.m.?
Yeah, last couple weeks I've had just a bit of rest. Origin sort of took it out of me, you know.
I saw an Instagram the other day of you working.
Dell on Instagram? No, that's not
can't
true.
Believe it. And the finishing of your workout was apparently was some bloke with a giant medicine ball just thumping it into your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
That's all right, a little change up, yeah. Little change up.
Well, but how heavy was the medicine?
You know what he's doing? He's tapered over the last couple of weeks because now he's going to surge into the Legends weekend, which is in about how long? What's that in about? 12 weeks, about 3 months?
That's in November, but like the
side. You set the program to hit peak form coming into that game?
And usually around wintertime, I get a little bit lazy after Origin, so I'm back into it now, so it'll be good. Yeah.
The other thing they celebrated last night in Canberra was the 30th anniversary of the 89 grand final, which was voted, I think, Man League Foundation as the best grand final of all time. Steve Jackson, of course, that man who in the number 20 scored the winning try at the end. He was terrific on stage talking about that. Timmy Brasher and Ciro were both there as well.
Oh, how good's that?
Tigers boys talking about how and what it meant to them.
Brash would have been like 17, 18, wouldn't he?
He was. He was just straight out of school. He's straight out of school and walked on that field just next door, which is just at the moment just a piece of rubble, but was a Sydney football stadium then, and facing up to Mal Meninga, which is, you know, three times his size.
What a great group.
Are you intimidated when you talk to Mal Meninga?
Only if he's kind of holding me by the shirt.
But he has an aura, doesn't he?
Does. He
even when he's walking around Fox Sports, there's former players walking everywhere, and it's just, you know, it's just seems part of work. But every time Mal Meninga walks past, I just feel a bit like, oh my God, it's Mal Meninga.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that's why he works in terms of his coaching ability. It is that presence, isn't it?
And it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, the involvement he has now up there at the Gold Coast Titans and the influence he can have over the group now over probably the next 6 or 8 weeks until, I mean, obviously, it doesn't look like they're going to bring an interim coach in. So it's probably going to be sort of Mal at the forefront with a couple of, I think, Luke Burt and a couple of the assistants that will take over there from Garth. And it's just going to be interesting to see the influence he can have on guys like Bryce Cartwright, young Taylor we see sort of come back into camp now and training again, potentially might play this weekend in the lower grades. He's a guy that, when he speaks, people listen, and I wonder what he's going to be able to do to that young, influential group up there.
Yeah, I remember in the 1994 tour, and there was, like, me and a young Steve Menzies, and, like, whenever, like, Mel came our way, we were just like, you know, like, he's coming, like, what am I going to say? You're like, the whole tour just got nervous, and I remember when he sort of came up to me and he presented me with my first cap at Wembley.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, like, I'll never forget it, and then, you know, I got to play, you know, with the great man, just at one test, and then I got dropped, so, yeah, it was great. Rod Wishart came back in, but it was unbelievable.
Looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard at Tyre Power, of course, buy 4 or more selected BF Goodrich tyres and receive a gift card up to $100. Last night, the Dragons just humiliated in that second half, 40-18. The Panthers did the job. Before we get to the Dragons, let's go with the positive, Gerds. There's 7 now on the trot for the Panthers. As we said before, they were the discussion about how poor it was all going at the beginning of the season. Now they're in a discussion not just for the 8, but they're a shot, an outside shot of maybe climbing into the 4.
They're unrecognisable, Tony, and you just have to wonder what sort of influence, I mean, all that video stuff and I mean, obviously the change of coach and things like that had on them in the off-season, but last night was the most connected performance I've seen from them, you know, in probably around 12 months. I think they had a game like that against the Dragons in the middle of last season when they really sort of staked their claim for, you know, premiership contenders. And we haven't really seen another performance like that until last night on both sides of the ball. Attacking-wise, they've fallen into this shape and structure now, and the combination of those two halves. I think everyone talks about dominant playmakers and the roles of halves these days, and there's so much focus on it. If you go back and watch what those two did, how they complemented each other last night, not necessarily fitting into each role, but just being the player that the team needed at the time. So Nathan did a lot of running down the right. Jimmy did a lot of running down the left. They both did a lot of kicking, but they both always knew where the other one was. And if one was tackled on the other side of the field on play 4, you know, you knew the other one was just going to be there. And when the team has confidence like that around your playmakers, knowing where you're going to end up, it affects the whole group. But the story really is young Naden coming in, To'o, and this hooker, Mitch Kenny, that went to sort of showed us another level last night with some of his kicks and some of his play just around the ruck, and now he's starting to settle into his role there. And a guy that hasn't been there for the last couple of weeks, but I think has played a big part in this run of the Panthers, Liam Martin, a back rower that when things weren't going so well, he was really one of the guys that started this, this grinding nature, this courageous sort of path that the Panthers have been on and the way that they're playing. And I'm not sure what's wrong with him, but he's out at the moment. But it was outstanding performance last night.
But even for me, I think Dylan Edwards, start of the year, remember he had that game where he knocked about 4 balls on and then he got dropped, and they talked about him maybe moving to another club because he wanted to play fullback. You know, that was just a lot of media talk, you know. And then he just looks happy. It's a confident outfit. But young To'o, I just love the way that he plays, and he's happy, and that brings energy to a team. And last night, they just didn't panic. You know, I know Dragons aren't playing the best football, but they just seem like a happy team, and that they just trust. And I couldn't believe, whenever there was a mistake, their formation, they just fall into it. You know, they went left at stages, and, you know, the players in the pocket, they weren't doing that now a couple of months ago. It was a totally different team, and it's funny how a confidence can turn a team around.
And you can tell because all of these young players, they were so desperate to get a shot. So the effort and the attitude is there because they're still thinking, wow, I can't believe I'm playing first grade. There was, there was a bit of bitterness there. You had Watene Zalesniak, you know, wasn't quite happy. Was he wanted to be playing fullback? And obviously he left, let a couple of others go. So you've got blokes there who were so desperate for a shot. So they are absolutely going to give everything and not one bit of complacency. And it just goes to show it doesn't matter if they don't have the experience. If the attitude's there and then you've got senior guys like Maloney to steer them around, it can still work.
And well done to Nathan, to Ivan Cleary too, because everyone didn't mind sticking the boot in when, you know, he wasn't getting it right. And he just said, look, you know, we'll turn it around, and they have.
I thought that was the best game I've seen Nathan play, like last night. To be honest, like, you know, he's obviously had some really nice moments there the last couple of years and been solid at Origin, but just the way he got around the park last night, coming off the back of an injury, and the crispness and just the way he went about his business last night, it was all quality.
I think
subtle things that he did well.
I think people have made him feel good about himself over the past little while. I mean, with that Origin, he was wanted. He was wanted, and Freddie wanted him. That third game, then Mitchell Pearce made him feel included at the end of that game. Then Jimmy Maloney said, you know what, he came back after the Wednesday. He said, I'll play, you need to have another week off. There's kind of a sense of, not cotton wool, of protecting him and also endorsing what he does. And then that comes through when he actually gets back out on the field.
Because it would have been hard for him too. Like, you're hearing stuff about your dad and then, you know, obviously, you know, their combination signing and that. So that's got to affect the young men. So he's done very well. And that's the best game I've seen him play for a long time, yeah.
It definitely affected them, and Nathan even said earlier in the year he had to get off social media because he couldn't deal with the criticism on himself and his dad and his entire family. And James Maloney even said last night that through that whole period, he said he was almost even at breaking point. And for James Maloney to say that, he's the bloke that seems so unfazed by absolutely everything. So it was a tough period for the Panthers.
We're going to talk to Jimmy Maloney a bit later in the show, but Gerds, you're beginning a campaign, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, his form at the moment, and given the fact that there's talk about him leaving next year and going on, and I understand that might have been the arrangement initially there from the Panthers, and it'll be hard to hold him back if he can get a nice, sweet 3-year deal somewhere in England. That'll be great for him and his family. But given his current form and what he means to that team, I think Luai is a fantastic young player, and at some point he's going to certainly be able to take over the reins. And I think having the three of them as part of your lineup at the moment is dangerous for the opposition. But yeah, to see him go sort of next year, when, you know, if they can continue on this form this year, who knows how far they're going to go. But he's kind of a guy that they need at the back end of the season in those big games. I mean, he's one of the best big game players around, and they've still got, you know, they're going to have young players in key positions. You're still going to have Edwards and obviously Kenny. So, and Nathan's still only 21 or 22. So, you know, in those key positions, you need to make sure you've got someone there experienced. And I'm sure he's the guy that, you know, when they're a little bit nervous or there's a young guy coming through, that they all look at and go, you know what, it's going to be okay because, you know, Jimmy's got us tonight. And I don't know. I don't know if they can afford to let him go. I don't think the NRL should let him go. He's a great character to have in the game.
Completely. All right, look, let's flip the coin then. And it's fairly dark on the other side. It is the St. George Illawarra Dragons. What has gone wrong? First, tell me, you two have both played a lot of representative football. You've had to come back and play for your club. You've wanted to do it. Ben Hunt played last week, and we know he didn't have a great game post-Origin. And he was solid through Origin, had a lot of defence in the middle, playing in the number 9 for Queensland. How does he not play in that game? If he's not injured, he wasn't listed as injured, the coach said he was rested. How does Ben Hunt, the man that you have paying a lot of money for to be your chief playmaker, a game that has to be won to keep your finals hopes alive, how does he not play?
The only thing I can think of, he must have an injury that he needed to rest. But for me, season on the line, they needed him. You just, I don't know what the injury is, but you got to push through. You don't rest. If you're sitting first or second, well, then, you get a rest. Like, that's what Bellamy and Trent Robinson do. But I couldn't believe when Tristan told me, he goes, oh, Ben Hunt's getting rested this week. I'm thinking, if anyone needs a rest, it's Tyson Frizzell, because, you know, last week he missed a couple of tackles on the line that just didn't look like Tyson.
Yep.
And Ben Hunt, look, he's played great through the Origin, but, mate, they need him. They needed him last night. And I just don't know why Mary didn't play him, or why Ben Hunt didn't say, mate, you know what, I want to play.
What if he's lacking a bit of confidence or a bit of mental fatigue, and he thought 1 week off and he'll be better off having 1 week off and coming home strong for 7? Do you think that, or you think, no, even if you're struggling, that's part of the game. If you're a bit mentally or emotionally fatigued, you just got to push on.
Yeah, I think you just got to find ways around that, and it's through, you know, training through the week and giving him opportunities to rest up and whatever there. And I know it was obviously a really physical campaign for him because he did play in the middle. He was number 90. I think he played 80 minutes in all three of those games. But the fact of the matter is, if you're a key player in a side like that and you need to win every game to make the finals, and the coach comes up to you and says, I'm thinking about resting you, the answer you would think would be, no, mate, you know, I mean, I'm playing this week. We need to win, and I'll have, you know, Thursday off, or I'll go away for a couple of days here and I'll try and freshen up. But there's no way am I missing this game.
You can't imagine Cam Smith, you were talking before.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I can't imagine too many players. And so I'm not sure what there might be, you know, there's another side of the story. I'm really not sure what it is or why Mary was thinking that way. But they certainly could have used him last night, because there was moments, obviously, in that game where even though they sort of lacked possession and field position, I think they went into halftime, you know, 4 points down after Penrith just scored late in that first half. They got themselves right back into the game and you know, with an extra guy like Ben Hunt on there that, you know, obviously is a great runner of the ball and good at kicking and steers the side around pretty well. They certainly could have used his services. Yeah,
like Nichols tried hard, but like he's no Ben Hunt, so, you know, I was shattered for the Dragons at half time, because I thought, you know, the worst thing that happened on was half time. After that, I'm not sure what team came out in the second half, but it wasn't the team that played in the first half. I couldn't believe they turned it around in that first 40. I thought there's no chance at Penrith after what I saw at Canberra, and just some of the mistakes at the back. Dufty, obviously, you know, Pearson. I've been disappointed with their outside five for a long time, and even the forwards, they've been ruthless, you know, last couple of years, but they're just missing something. There's no trust there amongst them. You know, I know James Graham came back last night. I thought he might inspire them, and they just couldn't look each other in the eye.
Well, they should get Gareth Widdop back next week, and it's probably too late. Well, they have to win every single game, really, but... They could have done with he and James Graham much earlier.
As horrible as it is to say, I think they've got to try to win the two Titans games to avoid the wooden spoon. Mm. I reckon that's where they're at.
Really, Tony? You think they're going there?
And they've not lost, and they've not won a wooden spoon in the history.
Well.
Vaughn McGregor is a terrific bloke, and I like him a great deal. He said at the beginning of this year, this is the team, his team, and it was the team that could, you know, take them through to challenge. Mm. Now, obviously, there have been internal challenges. There's been the Jack DeBellin thing, which has obviously
massive
pushed them off kilter.
I think we've underestimated how much that would have affected them, because Ivan came out and said how much the tape scandal affected them.
Yep.
And that's all that everyone was talking about for a couple of months. Every time you went to media down there, they would have been getting sick of it. It would be hard, Jack being around there and not knowing what's happening. I reckon that would have had a massive impact on this.
It also creates probably a little bit of an excuse for the players.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's sometimes, you know, a really thing for them to overcome. It's like, oh, yeah, but, you know, DeBellin's out and Widdop's out, and we've had this, like, a, you know, this run of injuries that's been really unfortunate, and therefore, you know, in subconsciously it becomes a little bit of an excuse. But for mine, you know, they're just not willing to defend their errors at the moment. And that was the difference with them last night. They, you know, that was the difference when the two sides, they created opportunities. They converted some opportunities, the Dragons. But as soon as they made an error, especially in the second half, they just thought, oh, we've made an error. Okay, they'll probably score now. That was their mentality. And that's exactly what happened. It seems like just a mentality thing.
The last couple of years, mate, I've been so impressed with the Dragons' defence, and they're working for one another and, you know, Tarek Sims. But even when Tarek ran the ball last week on the edge, his first... On, you know, he missed Origin, obviously, and he ran the ball, and it was just, it wasn't what Tarek does. It was like he had somewhere better to be.
Yeah. All right, well, Dragons fans are nothing if not vocal about their team, so let's exercise that right now. 133353, give us a call. What's gone wrong? What should happen? Love to hear from you as we sit here at the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground for Saturday Triple M and RL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy.
And we are at the Sydney Cricket Ground. The Roosters taking on the Newcastle Knights. It'll be a great game of footy at 3 o'clock. Sadly, there's a game here beforehand, which is a bit of a bummer. Trying to fill this beautiful stadium for the Roosters and the Knights. As I said, kickoff is at 3. We're talking about the Dragons. Last night, they were thrashed by the Panthers 40-18. The second half was particularly upsetting for any red and white supporter, and there are plenty of those about, and we have them on the line to try to work out what should happen. We'll get to them in a moment. So with Mary McGregor, Wendell Saylor,
yes.
you know and you like him. Is there a sense now that the hot spotlight will turn on him?
Oh, there's no doubt. Dragons fans are obviously ropeable. You know, the Dragons had a pretty good squad this year. We know what they've gone through, but they're just, when they're getting flogged like that, you don't mind your team competing, but I think what the Dragons fans have seen, like against the Raiders and obviously this, you know, and where they are at the, on the ladder, there's some disappointment. I'm getting text messages. I said, I've got nothing to do with the club, even though I want them to do well. Obviously, my young bloke, you know, he's there. He was 18th man again last night. I don't really ask him too much about footy, but I just know there's a lot of pressure on Mary at the moment, especially when he's re-signed for a couple of years.
So what is the attitude that they have to have now, Gerds, in terms of this last 7 weeks? Clearly, it's win 7 games, get to 28 points, hope that that's enough to get into the final.
Have some pride in the jersey.
It's about that. It's really just about that. It's just finding a way to get out there, just enjoy yourself, put your best foot forward and just enjoy, you know, your footy that you've got left in the season. And while they're a mathematical chance, I guess there's something there to play for. But even not, I mean, you know, you're doing what you love. Get out there and just enjoy it and represent the jersey well.
Chris from Campbelltown. G'day, Chris.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks.
How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm a first-time caller, and I'm so frustrated with what's going on at the Dragons. I've always supported them, all this stuff that goes on the internet. You know, I used to sort of back Mary and back the team and say, come on, boys, you know, you need to support your team, not bag them every week. But I'm at the end of my tether. Who's the defensive coach for them at the moment?
I think Dean Young. I think there's Dean Young, mate, Ben Hornby. Yeah.
Well, what the hell are they doing? Every week I watch you and Aitken just fly out of the line and leave gaps in the back line. It's just terrible.
You're right. There's no trust there. They're not working together, which, you know, we've seen that this year, and that's why they're getting scored on, you know, quite easily.
But, Dill, that's the coach, isn't it? Like, he's got to come and see what's going on and say, listen, stay with your line. You don't run out of the line and leave gaps like that. Last night was absolutely shocking, and the kicking game from Maloney just killed us. You know? Dusty at the back wasn't following the ball across. I played fullback, and I could have been better in that game last night.
Yeah, I think they let Dufty know about it too a few times there. Jimmy seemed to be enjoying himself, but you're right. I mean, there's just no, as we spoke about before, there's no trust, and there's guys just trying to solve the problem on their own and coming out of their systems, and they need to be held accountable. And I think that's probably where Mary's at. You know, he'll be pulling a few guys into line, I would imagine, this week, and maybe they don't get a start in their next game.
Well, he said something like, you know, some players probably aren't hurting enough. Or
yeah, he said they'll probably, obviously, you get Widdop coming back, but he said there'll be a couple of other changes as well. So he's basically put his players on notice, and so he should.
133-53 is the number. Jeff from Bankstown. G'day, Jeff.
Yeah, boys, there you go.
Good.
I'll just say, ladies, sorry. I'll say the Origin players are not performing. The Leicester Knights are not performing. I've been disappointed with, you know, Paul Warner, you know, and players like that, Tarek Sims. I mean, it's not the way it's not the fact they're losing, it's the way they're losing. I mean, it's just it's just not acceptable, mate. And if I was very upset with, you know, and a lot of people don't really, they follow them and they just had enough of it, you know, basically. You know, it's not good enough. 14th position, getting beaten by more than 20 points. 15, 20 points every game of the year. I mean, Frizzell, he's, I don't know, they're busted or whatever, but they're not playing to their potential. And the Leicester Lights aren't going to play to their potential if the guys that are supposed to be doing the jobs aren't doing them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. And that is one of the great disappointments, isn't it? They have been the most scored against side in the competition this year.
It's probably time. I mean, you know, you look at the side that they played last night, and they went through a similar form slump during the season. They made wholesale changes. You know, they moved some cattle on. They identified, you know, to Ivan's credit, he identified the problems, made some changes on the paddock, you know, made some roster changes. And we haven't really seen any young players come through this Dragon system over the last couple of years. I mean, you probably know more than
Zach Wendell. Lomax, I guess.
Yeah, Zach's probably Lomax, there. He's out injured at the moment.
Weeks,
but with some of these forwards, you're right. He's right, you know. Like, I mean, they've got a lot of representative players there, and they get beat through them. Most sides, you know, when they win through the middle, and they're getting beat through that part of the field every week. And so maybe it's time that Mary put some of these guys on notice. And sometimes that's what you need as a player. You need a bit of a kick up the bum. And sometimes if there's some good competition coming through and putting some pressure in those certain key areas, it's just what the club needs.
The Dragons Canterbury Cup side's going right. In the top four, they've been floating around second and third all year. So there's some talented players there.
Yeah, well, I guess he'll have to put them on notice, or Mary's position may be on notice. Although, of course, it has been extended, his deal. He has another 2 years,
I think, he does, yeah.
After this, which will make it very, very interesting over the next little while. We've got plenty to get to. We'll get to the Warriors and the Sharkies. Controversies out of those games, his shoulder charges, we'll get there as well. And Anthony Seibold, the coach from Brisbane, joins us as well. We're here at the Sydney Cricket Ground, Saturday Triple M NRL. On a Saturday, Arbor. Gee, it's nice sitting here at the SCG, looking across at the beautiful Bill O'Reilly stand across the grass, looking in a perfect state. The Sydney Cricket Ground turf for this afternoon's game. As I look at the window in front of Gerds, he's got the State of Origin champions poster.
Well, that's a great shot, isn't it?
Isn't it? Just a classic shot. That
in great view stuff. For and Wendell Saylor,
right in front of Wendell,
right in front of Dell.
That's awesome. I can't wait. That's beautiful. I love it. That was only a week ago. I can't believe that.
We talked about the Panthers. Their performance,
it's awesome.
Their performance was terrific. The only downside out of that, they'll take on the Raiders next week, which should be a great game of footy, but potentially they'll be with that Viliami Kikau. You wouldn't have been happy with that, Ryan Girdler.
That was a joke.
Yeah, look, I think we need to be careful as a game, and I really understand where we're trying to go with looking after, you know, playmakers and minimising some of the contact that's at times unnecessary, but there's also an element of contact that is necessary, and you know, a back rower's job is basically, you know, when you've got playmakers coming at you, one, the playmaker is trying to attract you, so you come out of the line to create space. That's the whole purpose of the play.
Yep.
And two, the play and the back rower wants to make sure that the playmaker's uncomfortable when he makes that play. And so the timing of that is obviously key. I didn't think Kikau's one was... In real time, was that bad last night? Firstly, I thought it was over the top that he got sin-binned. Secondly, now that he's looking at 200 points and he's got some carryovers, potentially two games, for that I think's ridiculously excessive. Fifita we'll talk about win the next one. I think it's totally irrelevant to what we saw last night. And one, they need to work out... Like, it was okay last night because Penrith were in a position by the time that happened that him spending 10 in the bin didn't really affect the result.
Yep.
But if that's going to affect the result and you're going to get 10 minutes in the bin, and then you're also going to get 2 weeks. So the play, it just seems like, you know, it's way too, the penalty's just way too harsh at this point. They need to balance it out. Otherwise, Cooper Cronk, I would imagine, is going to extend his contract at the Roosters. And Jonathan Thurston will probably make a comeback if they can't get tackled anymore, the halves. I mean, seriously.
How could Viliami have possibly pulled out of that? Because when you slow it down, there's only like 4 or 5 frames before he makes contact. And he's already committed. He's kind of got his head down, ready to tackle. I don't see how he possibly could have pulled out of that.
No, I'm with you, Emma. I can't believe it. I was shocked, and then obviously when he went off, and then what I was more shocked about also is then Penrith still with 12 players were able to score a couple more tries.
And there's obviously the other incident in the opening half was when, you know, Dufty came across, and, you know, who's 82 kilos against Naden, who's probably about 95, and got himself in a position to stop a try. And the only way that he could do that was with what we call a shoulder charge. Now, it's a different sort of shoulder charge than the one that, you know, has done a lot of damage in the past where there's guys, you know, charging out of the line one-on-one in the middle of the field just trying to put big shoulder charges on in collision.
Yep.
This is more of a body check shoulder charge, and I'm kind of okay for the fact that he it wasn't a penalty try. He was penalised for the incident. But then if you actually, you know, go through the rule book, he stopped a try with an illegal tackle. So therefore, it has to be a penalty try. So there's too much ambiguity around some of these rules at the moment, Tone. I think we're all trying to do the right thing, but at some point they need to come out with a black and white solution of what's right and what's wrong, because where are people left to stand when, you know, we have incidents like that moving forward?
Yeah, look, Matt Duffy, obviously his defence has been a few question marks, but if I'm a Dragons player, that's what I want to see Matt Duffy do, put his body on the line. It was the only way he's going to stop him, so we need to get that sorted out. ASAP, you know, yep. Especially in finals time.
Del, the Dragons had a practice at allowing teams with 12 people to score tries last week.
Yeah, Canberra. Yeah.
So they've worked out exactly how to do it by the time Penrith came around having 12 players. Is there any reduction in points for your minutes in the sin bin? There is if you sent off, and that happened with Nick Kotrick last week, that there's a reduction in terms of the penalty for the minutes that you're not on the field. Perhaps that will work if it were, you know, for Kikau as well, because it would be such a bummer, and it will be.
Well, he's going to miss the game against the Raiders.
Exactly.
I mean, you've won 7 in a row. He's a big part of what they do.
Yep.
And it potentially the match of the round, and he's going to have to sit it out.
All right. Well, let's just move then to the Fifita one, because we're in the same, you know, field here. Andrew Fifita, he will miss this week. Now, it was Lachlan Burr. They had a bit of a running battle.
In the first half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was, you know, they were two. Mate, you know, Fifita always gets himself in and around the game. They're a very aggressive side, the Warriors. But Lachlan Burr, he doesn't take a backward step. But what Andrew Fifita did was just, it was crazy. Everything that you shouldn't do that he did do. Late, shoulder charge, so that's, for me...
Scores close to the end of the game.
Yeah, but just like, he's just that's the old Andrew Fifita. So I've seen a couple of things this year, you know, and that's why he got suspended for the crusher tackle as well. He's just doing some real selfish things at the moment, Andrew Fifita. That, for me, that deserves a couple of weeks.
It was always going to be, I thought, Johnny Morris's biggest test, managing some of these big personalities. And I think, you know, Shane Flanagan's been able to keep these guys on a really short leash for a couple of years. He's a real disciplinarian and he goes about his business in a serious nature. Not that Johnny doesn't, he's new to the game. But at some point, obviously, Johnny had a fair bit of success with a lot of the young guys that he'd helped bring through the system and that were playing for him. But I think now he's having, it seems to me from an outside perspective, that he could be having some issues with some of the bigger personalities in the team. You see Josh Dugan, I know that obviously he's had to put him on the wing and he's moving guys around in positions, and I'm not sure how that's being received by some of the senior players. And we saw with Fifita last night, like we called that game, they got themselves into a pretty, you know, good situation after 20 minutes. They got themselves in the lead.
Yeah.
And then Fifita and Woods and Gallen went off after about 25 minutes. Now, they brought on these young guys in Uele, Williams and Matty Pry, who's not so young, but they brought them off the bench. Now, those guys held the fort for like the next 40 minutes. They did a fantastic... They had no ball. The Warriors were just on their line the whole time. And that side were basically just defending their backsides off and kept themselves in the contest. Said during the call, I said, oh, well, that's good for the Sharks because there's 15 minutes to go now. Fifita's going to come back on. Woods is going to come back on. They might bring Gallen back on and these guys will be able to close out the win. Fifita comes back on and within 3 minutes... You know, comes out of the line on a guy that was off the ball. And gives away a penalty in front of the post. They kick the goal, then come back down and kick the field goal. It was the turning point in the game. I just wonder what those guys that had just been defending their backside off for the last 40 minutes must have thought of Fifita.
They would have been filthy, but how do you... Isn't... With Fifita, his passion and aggression, that's also one of his biggest strengths. Because like Sam Burgess, you want to be able to keep that energy and aggression, but then it's such a line between doing something which can get a penalty or get you binned or something like that.
He seems to be taking a few more shortcuts this year, especially, you know, that crusher tackle. That's just, he's just got to start to play a bit smarter, you know. I love when he plays with that passion and aggression. At the moment, he hasn't got his mind in the game.
I should just point out that you do not get a reduction for any of the minutes that you're in the game. That's just an idea that I've had that they should have a little look at.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very
well, they're looking for a new commissioner.
Yeah, are they?
Goods also.
Maybe.
Also for the Warriors, great win without the two big wingers. When those three, I thought, the Sharks are home here, because Sharks like that sort of, you know, that wet sort of, you know, get down and do.
Well, they used to. And this is what I was thinking. This is what we were going through last night. I mean, it's like they've almost changed their DNA this year, the Sharkies. They're almost unrecognisable, because a game like that last year, or the last 3 or 4 years, they thrive in.
Yep.
But it seems to me, and it certainly happened over the last couple of weeks, where, you know, all the back end of their tackles now get through. All the play always goes now to Johnson on the right hand side. Now it seems like he's been told, look, you make the decisions now on where this team ends up at the back end of these sets, and they've taken that responsibility away from Chad Townsend, who's done it so admirably now for the last 4 or 5 seasons. And Johnson's a guy that's always looking for opportunity. He's built a reputation, a career on that. And he's not always thinking kick first, what's best for the team first. He's obviously thinking opportunity first. If there's no opportunity, I'm going to kick. And when you're thinking that way, it allows the defence to get up in your face. And last night, Wendell mentioned it. There was a couple of times. Yeah. He's down a short side. There's 10 or 15 metres to the sideline. Why he gets the ball on tackle five on a short side coming out of your own end, I don't know. But he's getting it. And sometimes he's passing. Sometimes he's kicking. Sometimes he's running. And it's just it just seems to be totally against what the Sharks have just built this reputation on over the last 4 or 5 years of being a side that'll get you down into the corner. They'll play the long game and they'll try and just grind out a hard-fought victory.
Yeah. Am I mistaken or not? Did Paul Gallen come on in the second half or was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did either.
No.
Jeez.
So can they just change their tactics, or do you think long-term Sean Johnson and Chad Townsend don't work well together?
Well, I think you need to give Chad the reins and say, Chad, look, this is what we need. This is where we need to get. You know what we need to do to finish off our sets. Now, Sean, you're on the other side. If you see something, overcall it and take the opportunity. But, you know, the percentage play is obviously kicking the football where it needs to go and then trying to make some errors with their aggressive defence controlling the ruck. But doesn't seem to be part of the game this year.
19-18, the Warriors over the Sharks. We'll speak to Blake Green, the man who kicked that field goal, a little bit later in the show. Next, though, it is Brizzy coach Anthony Seibold on Saturday Triple M NRL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy.
Roosters and Knights right here at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock Thursday night. It was the Broncos over the Doggies, 28 points to 6. We're joined by Coach Anthony Seibold. G'day, mate.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Very, very well, thank you. Last week, a bit of history, but not the history you wanted. A draw, wanted those 2 points, but managed last night in very convincing fashion.
Yeah, it was a good performance against the Bulldogs. They're a really gritty team, obviously, and they certainly don't beat themselves. They're a really high completing team and worked really hard defensively. So, it was a tough game. It was our third game in 11 days. And obviously, we had a number of guys that also played in Origin 3. So, it's been a really busy period for our guys. So, it was pleasing to get a result.
Hey, Seibs, I know you've got some young players in that team, but Payne Huss, he was unbelievable. I think you said to me at the start of the season, this kid has got a big future. I didn't know how good this kid was.
Yeah, I think Wendell, he's been really consistent for us, and that's a big thing, chasing from our guys, the difference between their best and their worst, not being too far apart. So I think he's been really consistent. He's, he played Origin after only 10 games of NRL, which is incredible, really, particularly, as a front rower. So he was really good again for us on Thursday night. Like I said, mate, he's got so much potential, and he's only very young.
And Seibs, with the pack that you guys have got and the performance, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, I mean, possession's key for you guys. I mean, it's obviously key for most sides, but for you guys, even more so. I mean, to contain Haas and Pengai Jr. and Flegler and Lodge is almost impossible for opposition teams.
Yeah, it's been a real challenge for us, Gerds. I think, for the bulk of the season, we've had less than 50% of the footy. So when you don't have much footy, you've got to defend and... particularly in the early rounds, so for whatever reason, we just couldn't get a hand in the footy, and it sort of turned a little bit, in recent weeks. We were really scratchy over the Origin period. We lost three games straight, but either side of that, I think we've been really good, and, as you said, possession's the king, and, for our pack, we've got some really good ball carriers, that we're hard to handle when we have some footy.
Hey, Seibs, it's Emma Lawrence. I know Del just mentioned Payne Haas, but have you noticed a difference in the likes of David Fifita since he came back from Origin? And does he have a spring in his step? Is there something different about him since he's returned?
Yeah, and he obviously had a great experience playing all three games, although a losing series to Queensland. Like, as a 19-year-old, he only turned 19 in February. It's a really rare achievement for a teenager to play at that level. So he certainly got a lot of confidence out of it. The thing with David is, he's still learning and, he's got some areas of his game that he needs to do better with. But the thing that we all see is his ball carrying ability. And I think, the try against the Warriors there to hit the lead, 2 games ago was probably, really indicative of the, potential and talent that he's got.
The move of Darius Boyd to 5'8" has worked very well, so much so that I read today he's very keen to keep playing and play on.
Yeah, Tony, he's an ultimate pro, and, Wendell played with him down the Dragon there. He's, really good with regards to his preparation, very diligent. He's really enjoying the role as a 5'8", and it's great to have a smile on his face. He's got some criticism throughout the year, as we all have at the Broncos, but he continues to turn up, and he's very professional, and like I said, he seems to have fitted in really well into the number 6 jersey.
Hey, Siebs, I've been really impressed with young Deedon. When is he back? Because I know that Turpin, he's a nine and he's doing an okay job for you. But when's young Deedon back? He's a super young player.
He is, Wendell, yeah. So Tommy, we're hoping to have him back and available for this weekend, but I think it's going to be more the following week, so against the Storm. But in any case, mate, we want to make sure that we're conservative with him. He's only a young kid. He's only 18 years of age. He's a really good pro. So he's got it in his head that he wants to get back in the same time as Delacroix Evans did. So that's his goal. So we'll see how it goes with that.
Hey, Susan, it'd be a great opinion of someone, obviously, that's really close to the game. This new rule that we're seeing, I don't know if you saw the game last night with Kikau getting 10 minutes in the bin and now looks like getting a couple of weeks on the sideline. These big back rowers, and you've got a couple there, obviously, in Glenn and Pangai Jr. and the likes, coming out of the line and putting pressure on playmakers and getting that right or wrong. How hard is it, from your perspective as a coach, to get these guys to do their job but also make sure they remain on the field?
Yeah, it's really challenging. I think, we talk about inside pressure, which is, without seeing that incident last night, I'm sure that's what you're talking about. It's where, you want to try and make the ball player play a little bit earlier. And the idea behind it, Gerds, is so your centres and your wingers don't have to make decisions, because if the ball player plays a little bit earlier, then, the edge of the centres can stay connected. So that's the idea behind it. And I think Craig Bellamy in the 2012 Grand Final pretty much won that game. And their strategy was to put a lot of pressure on James Graham and those guys. So Barber wasn't getting 3 weeks throughout the back of shape. So that's where it sort of was born out of. But, again, we need to make sure that the halves are protected and then they're not hit late after they pass the footy. But, we encourage our players to go get, so to speak. That's what we call it. You need to go and get the ball player, so it helps our edges out. So it's a selfless act, and a lot of people at home or it's not telling, wouldn't fit, but it's a big part of the modern game.
Hey, Steve, I saw you a couple of weeks ago. You spoke up at the Rebel Sport up there at Cairns at their national launch. It was great. I think for ASICS, you were a guest speaker. It was good to hear you. Mate, I know you're big on teamwork. I heard a bit of mail that when you went to Mount Cootha, did you leave your man behind? Is there something happening there?
That was your man, mate. I did actually. We were walking up the hill, and he was suffering a bit of dizziness. So I kept marching on, mate. I would have tried to lose a couple of kilos, mate. So I had to keep going.
Good on you,
man, behind, mate.
The boys told me so. Yeah, pretty funny, mate.
Hey, the Broncos got some good news recently with Lodge and Tevita Pangai Jr. re-signing. I know Alex Glenn has been pretty public in saying he wants another 2 years, and Jake Turpin's keen to stay as well. How close are those two to re-signing?
Yeah, and I think we're a long way down the line with Jake. He's had some offers from two other clubs that are really worthwhile his consideration, but I'm very confident that we'll keep Jake. He's one of my favourites. He's probably one of the most likeable blokes in the group. He's a hard worker, a really competitive sort of guy, and we're really confident keeping him. He doesn't want to go anywhere, so I expect that to be done sooner rather than later. The Alex Glenn one is probably a little bit more challenging for us. I want to keep Alex, and I've let that be known to our recruitment and retention committee. He's a great leader. He's a really selfless player. I think he's been one of our most consistent all season. He's been doing a great job on our left edge. But, what sort of happens is, when you come to a new club, they've sort of got plans in place, for the next 2 or 3 years. And without going into too much detail, I don't think Alex was sort of in the previous regime's plan. So we're doing all we can. I don't think it's fair for Alex to have to go somewhere else and finish his career. So, he's been a long-time servant, 250-game player for our club. So I think he should be able to see out his career here. We're doing all we can within the salary cap to do that.
We're talking to Broncos coach Anthony Seibold. You mentioned a little earlier when we were talking about Darius Boyd that he'd cop some criticism, as people in the Broncos do. It is that kind of thing, isn't it? There's pressure in a club that is high achieving. There was pressure on you earlier. Are you now, this way through the season, starting to play some good footy? You're starting to feel, the shoulders just relax a little bit when, around and about town. How's it feel?
Yeah, I think everyone, all our members and supporters, that probably understand what we're trying to do. It's very unusual to have this many young players come through all at once. We've got 9 or 10 guys, all 20 or younger, who are playing first grade most weeks for us at the moment. And that's very unusual. Normally you'll sort of see 2 or maybe even 3, 19, 20, 21-year-olds play for a team, but we've got a really large chunk. So, the way I sort of speak about this framework that I was trying to implement is it's almost like an Olympic preparation. You know, like you don't come out of one Olympic preparation and be ready to go for the next one. It takes some time. So, people want success overnight, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But one thing I do know is that the competition is going to look very different in 12 to 24 months. If you see some of the guys who are the back end of their careers, it'll look really different. So we're making some decisions to make sure that we don't finish fifth or sixth or seventh every year. We want to be there or thereabouts every single year. So that's our plan.
And so were these premeditated ideas that you had sort of, when you took over the role and you knew you were coming into that position? Is it something you sat back and you went through the roster and said, okay, well, I think we can use this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy? And then did you put a strategy together over the next sort of 12 months of, you kind of knew that maybe Roberts was going to move on, and you knew that Nick Arima wasn't in your plans, or did that all just sort of happen spontaneously?
Yeah, it wasn't preconceived, Gerds. I mean, you have, as an outsider coming into a place, I'm big on it's a fancy term, but culture. But essentially what culture is, in my opinion, is what you do around here. So really I wanted to observe how players did their thing around the club and what the club was like and how the players prepared. So I had no preconceived ideas. But once I got into place, I knew that these young guys like Flegler and Carrigan and Dearden and Xavier Coates and Herbie Farmer, and the list goes on, Payne Haas, Fafita, etc. I knew that those guys were the future of the club. Now, had to make some tough decisions about letting some players go elsewhere and probably cop some criticism in the short term and around some of those decisions. But I think people now are starting to understand what we're trying to do and what we're trying to build. When I said before, Tom Dearden, you talk about him as a halfback. He just turned 18 in March. He's his first year out of school, and he's only played four and a bit first grade games. But he's not our saviour, but he's the long term half of this club. So to keep people like that, because one thing I've noticed, every club sort of wants to come try and pinch some of these young guys that we have coming through our EPD, which is our elite performance development pathways program, and it's a challenge to keep them all. So we have to make some tough decisions. So long story short, Gerds, it wasn't premeditated, but okay. Once I got in here, I knew what we needed to do.
Hey, Steve, you talk about a lot of those young players. We see Ash Taylor, he's gone through a tough time lately, and obviously big money, and there's that pressure. Ben Hunt, not sure if he got rested, but, whether he's a bit tired or something at the moment, or whether it's a mental thing. But so for you, how do you gauge that with players? Is there someone else that you talk to? If a player comes up to you, how do you gauge that as a head coach?
Yeah, sort of, conversations are key. I think probably 6, 7, 8 years ago, sports science went a little bit crazy where you had players fill out, questionnaires on their phones when they woke up in the morning, all that sort of stuff, and that takes away the personal side of things. We're people first and foremost. The people aren't robots and that sort of stuff. So sometimes, you have a good sleep, sometimes you don't have a great sleep, and, we've got people with kids or young babies and so on. So, having those conversations with the players is sort of seeing where they're at. Now, one thing I do know is that mentally, more so than physically, your Origin period takes a real toll, and we had a number of players involved throughout the series. So what we do is give them some time away from football. So it doesn't just interrupt your preparation during Origin. You need to give them some time off after Origin. So, but it's about having conversations with people rather than, waiting on a questionnaire to come through on your phone and so on.
All right, Anthony Sevel, it's good to talk with you. Thank you so much for giving so much of your time. I really appreciate it, mate.
Yeah, good on you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Broncos guys. Coach Anthony Seibold. Yeah. He is good to talk footy about, isn't he? There's Anthony Seibold from the Broncos. Plenty of other people who are good to talk footy. James Maloney will join us in the next hour. We'll also go with Ben Dobbin to talk us through what's happening with the Titans, that other team up in Queensland. All ahead, Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
For Ream Hot Water.